When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores desperate to get food.
Regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Fight Laugh Feast Network, where they just dropped, actually, just come and think of it, they just dropped this conversation with Gary DeMar, Doug Wilson, and Toby Sumter on what will happen if the rapture doesn't happen. What will we as Christians do? And it is phenomenal. You can see that trailer on the Facebook page, and I think you should go check it out, and I think you should subscribe to the Fight Laugh Feast Club membership. Go to fightlaughfeast.com, sign up, and tell them you listen to Law and Profits. That'll help me out a lot. Anyways, we're going to talk about Christian media today. I'm actually, a lot of the show is going to be me playing the clip, playing the live feed I did in my car the other day, because I just kind of got motivated to talk about the Gospel Coalition and their lack of understanding with Christian media and how they're not using it properly, and how people like us at the Fight Laugh Feast Club and Apologia and Sword and Trial founders, all those guys, they're doing it right. And I think that's going to have a big impact when you look down the coming years at those who are using social media properly and looking past social media into the future. I think you're going to see who the real victors are when all is said and done. But before we get into that, I want to talk about Facebook. Because we're talking about social media platforms, talking about using social media for the glory of God. But then you have this guy named Mark Zuckerberg. Now, Mark Zuckerberg is a liberal. There's no question about it. And I feel like he's kind of in this weird position where he understands how much power he actually has now. And instead of fighting to keep that power, I feel like he's under pressure to really do what the government wants. I think he's being used by the government. This is like my hope. My hope is that the government has some stuff on him and they're forcing him to do all these things that he really doesn't want to do, but he kind of has to do it. Or maybe the other option, honestly, the only other option is that he is absolutely bankrupt in his ideology and what he believes, and he doesn't have a clear understanding of what's good for him, what's bad for him. So anyway, this is an article from, let's go to that one in a minute. This article is from March 30th. And in March 30th, a month ago, actually, that's important as we get into this. It says, CNN says, Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg, who has been under scrutiny for social media company's role in spreading misinformation and inadequately policing content, is calling for regulators to play a more active role in establishing rules for the internet. So Mark Zuckerberg has become one of the most powerful men in the world because he built a business that is completely dependent on a free market economy. This business that Zuckerberg created is phenomenal. It's Facebook. It's their ability to advertise, to target, for an advertiser to say, I want to find people that buy blue t-shirts off of Facebook, and I want to sell them a blue t-shirt, but only if they're in the ages of 18 to 35 and vote like a liberal. Like, never in the history of the world have you been able to sell a product to such a specific group of people. And Facebook has built that. And a big giant part of that is having people's data, knowing people's data, what they like, what they shop for, every part about it. The reason why Facebook makes so much money is because we have given them information in exchange for the ability to receive content in a way that we want. Completely free to the end user, and advertisers are paying a lot of money for this. But it got them in a lot of trouble. It got them in a lot of trouble in the 2016 election. There were people who were using this data and ability to target people to sway the election, which they should be able to, I might add. I think if that resource is available to everyone, they should be able to use data to sell ads and persuade people. I want to make ads and persuade people towards a political position. I don't think there's a problem there. There does come concern, of course, when you have foreign countries putting a lot of money into swaying an election. But let's remember, Russia was so scared of Hillary Clinton being president that they thought Trump was the better option. And again, of course, I don't believe Trump had anything to do with what went down in Russia. Not at all. So anyway, he says, Zuckerberg continues to say, I believe we need a more active role for governments and regulators by updating the rules for the internet. We can preserve what's best about it, the freedom for people to express themselves and the entrepreneurs to build new things, while also protecting society from broader harms. And now, that word broader harms is concerning to me, because it says Zuckerberg called for stricter regulation of harmful content, election integrity, privacy, and data portability. So he's calling on the government to do what he doesn't want to get his hands dirty with. So, for example, like privacy and data portability is something he doesn't want to be responsible for the damages of. But also, he can't quite say that data portability, the ability to be able to like take the data that you've gathered and use it on another network, that's not good for his business. So he can't come out and say, you know what, we're just not going to allow data portability. Instead, he says, you know, if the government came and they did it, then our stockholders wouldn't be mad at us. It's not our stockholders' problem. It's the government's problem at that point. And the same thing with election integrity. If the government's regulating it, he doesn't have to deal with it. So it's lazy and it's easier for him, I think, ultimately, is what he's thinking, is like, these are things I, as a company, don't want to deal with. So instead of dealing with it, I'll just have the government deal with it and regulate the entire thing and regulate the internet. And it also says that he thinks the government should regulate harmful content on the internet. And that should send up the most amount of red flags of anything in this whole thing, because that is really scary. What and who defines harmful content? Like, what is harmful content and who defines what it is? Is saying that abortion is murder and should be punished as such, and women should get the death penalty if they have an abortion, is that considered harmful content? Is saying that homosexuality is a sin, is that considered harmful content? Who gets to determine what is and is not harmful content on the internet? And so that's really, really concerning. And I think this is something we as Christians, absolutely 100%, we have got to start looking past Facebook and say, what is social media 2.0? Like, what does it look like when Facebook is no longer in business anymore? What is going to put Facebook out of business? And we need to start fighting for those things and building up those platforms right away. We need to start right now. We need investors to take out their checkbooks right now and start investing in Christ-centered, gospel-focused digital media platforms, not Christian platforms, not something Caleb would like to get behind, but we just need the Christians making better technology. And part of the reason is because if the government comes along and starts regulating the internet, it's the very first thing they're going to start to do is regulate the Christian voice. There's absolutely no question about that. And, there's a part of me that says the government should do this only because it'll immediately create decentralized platforms where the government can't control, where the government isn't able to determine what information we receive on a regular basis, because that's what'll happen. So part of me is like, well, go ahead, regulate everything, and we'll see what happens when the free market finds another way, and that'll be better for all of us. But there also, of course, there's part of me that the biblical Christian part of me that says they can't do it. Don't do it. It shouldn't be done. And we need to fight against it. I mean, I say this a lot. Like, what is it that'll bring us to a civil war in this country if it's not abortion? Will it be regulating content on the internet? Will that finally do it? I mean, how many of our Bill of Rights can be taken away from us before we finally go no more? I don't know. I don't know, but okay, so here this is exactly 1 month ago. Mark Zuckerberg calling for regulation on the internet. And then today, we got this article. This was actually from Wednesday, April 24th, which was 2 days ago. And it says, Facebook said Wednesday that it expects an ongoing investigation from the Federal Trade Commission could result in fines ranging from $3 to $5 billion. The company set aside $3 billion in legal expenses related to the investigation, which cut into its profits for the first 3 months of 2019. Facebook's profits for the quarter was $2.4 billion, a decrease of 51%. So essentially what it is you have the government saying, look, we're going to fine you for the data violation that happened in the last election, that supposedly happened in the last election. We're going to fine you for that. You're going to be punished, and we're essentially going to regulate your business now. And so it says that their fines are going to be $3 to $5 billion. My question is, a month ago, before Zuckerberg came out in favor of regulation, was those fines going to cost more? I'm wondering if he got a discount on those fines for coming out in favor of regulation. Because the one good thing, honestly, I have to say, is the one good thing about the internet, whether you're conservative or liberal, it's always been the safe harbor for free speech. It's always been that way. The good and the bad. It's always been that way. But recently, there's just been this change where it's not that way anymore. And that concerns me a lot, like why that happened. I remember, actually, this is true, when the emails were leaked on WikiLeaks, I remember that there was an email between Hillary Clinton about Mark Zuckerberg, and something came up. He wasn't able to meet with Hillary Clinton, and Hillary responded and said something like, well, is our plan still going to happen? And I was like, what is that plan? What is that plan? And so, when people like Mark Zuckerberg are meeting behind closed doors with Hillary Clinton and Soros and those guys, I don't like any of the plans that they are thinking of coming up with. And this is important to understand, there is a desire from the liberal mainstream media at this very moment to control and regulate the content of the internet, because they realized in 2016, the real political scandal of 2016 was that social media was the new mainstream media, and they didn't have control of it. And so now we're seeing all this talk of regulations and finding Facebook and to hell with the free market of the internet, because the liberals know that they cannot win elections if they can't control social media and they can't control new media. And this is why we have to fight all the harder to build our own decentralized platforms, to create our own banking systems, to create our own servers and data mining and infrastructure and laying fiber in the ground of your house. Like, these are all things Christians have got to start doing at this very moment. Like, it is really too late to even be encouraging Christians to do this. That is why we have to do stuff now. Things have to happen now, because the liberals have been organizing way better than conservatives have, and Christians, we don't organize at all, unless it's for a Winter Jam concert or something. That's true. And so all that to say is we need to start seeing which way the wind is blowing. And speaking of the wind blowing, and I would say a positive direction, TBN, which of course, as most people know, is usually called the Blasphemy Network, they've actually have started to shift gears in that they're becoming a content purchaser at this moment. So they're buying content. They're looking at the landscape. What kind of films and TV shows do Christians like, and where can we put money and produce that? One of the things they do really well is Huckabee. They put a lot of money into the Huckabee show. And then now it comes out that they're actually reproducing VeggieTales with the original look, and most importantly, the original creators, which I am super excited about. Phil Vischer and Mike Nowrocki were the two original creators of VeggieTales. And there's a long story to it. I'll tell it briefly here. But you can read Phil Vischer's book, Me, Myself, and Bob, and it tells the whole story of how VeggieTales came about and how Phil Vischer lost it. So for those of you guys that don't know, Phil Vischer had this lucrative distribution deal with this Christian guy who was responsible for the distribution and licensing of the VeggieTales content. And essentially they had a handshake deal that said, hey, you know, do this. And, you know, the handshake deal essentially said, if I ever die, you're free to find licensing and distribution somewhere else. That was the handshake deal. It was a friendship with them. And it turned out that when he did die, the company that bought his company refused to honor that handshake agreement. And so they in turn sued VeggieTales, and VeggieTales lost complete ownership of everything. And Phil Vischer went to do What's in the Bible, the puppet show. And then I think he started Jelly Telly TV or something along those lines. Jelly Telly, I think is what it was called, like kids programming version of PureFlix or something like that. And so that's like the very short version of that story. You can read more details in it. He essentially comes out and says VeggieTales became an idol to him and whatever. And I love that book. I read that book, man, a long, long time ago, well before I even had a job in Christian media, and I wanted one. That's the book that really got me motivated and was like, man, like if he can do it, I can do it. So that was an important book. And so anyway, so TBN went, bought licensing rights to VeggieTales, and then they went and hired Phil and Mike Nowrocki. And I'm saying this because there is going to be, I think relatively soon, a giant uptick in people wanting to purchase Christian content. And that's good for Christian creators. It's good. I don't think there's ever been a time like this before. And I think those guys that are ahead of it now, like Fight, Laugh, Feast and Apology and Sword in the Trowel and others who are creating digital media right now, they're ahead of the game. So those checks can land at these places right now. And so that's encouraging. And so I say all that to say, you know, join Apologia, join the Fight, Laugh, Feast Club, join these networks, put money into these organizations, because I'm telling you, like, we see the future. We see the wall that we can climb. We just need the ladders to get there. And like all the talent, all the skill, the people are trained for battle. They know how to fight. It's all there. They just need someone to bring them a ladder. And it's going to happen. And I'm telling you, when it happens, when you see it, when you think about what Apologia and Fight Laugh Feast Club has done with the incredibly small amount of money that they've used, and it's just based on talent alone. You know, everybody at Fight Laugh Feast, they have different jobs. Apologia, very few hired employees there. They've done it for so little. Imagine what'll happen when they get that sort of budget, and they're going to crush it. They're going to crush it. So I say all that. I know it's short, but I'm going to wrap it up here because I want you guys to watch this live stream I did this week. And I want you to really think about this and think about what I say here in terms of the Gospel Coalition's inability to tackle social media, TBN not having any views on their YouTube channel. They have a completely older audience. This is why they're bringing in children's shows. This is why they're bringing in political shows. They're trying to get that younger audience to start watching their network again because they know they have no engagement on the internet at all. And so, anyways, all that to say, here's a live stream I did. I believe I did it this week, maybe Tuesday. I think I did it Tuesday. And so take a look at that. And be sure, again, one last time, subscribe to the Fight Laugh Feast channel. Subscribe and make sure you put in the code LawnProfits. Help me out a lot. And again, thank you guys. Here's that video. Hey, so I'll give a few minutes for Facebook to let people know that I'm going live. I just was scrolling through my Twitter feed, and I see I just see how racist this I just see how racist Twitter is now, with like all these people posting all this racist garbage on Twitter and talking about how you need theology to interpret experiences. Wow, man, people are really coming on. That's great. So anyway, so Twitter's just always talking about how, you know, like you need to understand someone's racism before you can understand like the theology or experience with racism before you can properly understand theology. You have to be experiential. It's just postmodern nonsense and garbage. And I was thinking that all these people have are Twitter. All these people have are their Facebook pages and that. And then I'm thinking about what Cross Politics doing, what Apologia Studios is doing. I see founders with their Sword and Trowel podcast that looks stunning, and you know, with what James White's been doing for years. And it hit me that the people at the Gospel Coalition and all these higher academic institutions, they don't have any media. Or what they have is just the typical default, this is what we have to have. I was looking at the Gospel Coalition's YouTube channel. They have 67,000 subscribers, and Apologia has, you know, maybe pushing near towards 200,000 now. And the Gospel Coalition's videos only have, like, they haven't even broken 1,000 views on the stuff that they're doing. And they don't have any high-end... If I was head of the Gospel Coalition's creative department, I would fire my entire staff because they don't produce any content that's getting seen or viewed, or unless it's like some crazy racist stuff. And then you know who's sharing their content? It's us. And so those people, it hit me, like, these people with all the racist theology and all this garbage, they're stuck in the printing world still. Like, they're the guys in the 1500s that were using ink and paper to make books with scribes. And we're the guys
that actually understand how to use the printing press. Like, we're the ones that are like, I'll invest in that printing press. I'll buy that. I see the value of that. And meanwhile, the Gospel Coalition and all those guys are still using old means of communication and stuff. And I was just thinking about this. They don't have anything. They're not pioneering anything. Like, the way Apologia, we went and we figured out, hey, we can live stream anywhere. We could live stream it. We can live stream in front of an abortion clinic. We can live stream in front of a Mormon temple. And we can make it look good and not do it with our phones. You don't even see the guys from the Gospel Coalition doing live videos from their cell phones. These people are behind. And I think, like, this should just... I think this should really encourage us. Sure, their platform currently is bigger, but no one's really... They're not creating ways to keep that. And so I just want to say that I think what we see is like a real shift right now that's happening in terms of like how like the reformed people, the solid theology guys, the solid dudes are pioneering new media in a way that these people who are putting out this social justice garbage don't have a clue how to use. They might have blue check marks on their Twitter account, but that's like it. That's all they got. They're not really using that in a way that's other than to share their blogs. And as we see, I think, with Facebook and how they're changing things up, Facebook doesn't care about blog posts as much as they used to. They don't care. They want to push video content. YouTube only wants to push video content to people that make video content routinely. Gospel Coalition doesn't routinely make video content unless it's like a guy talking on a black curtain. So I think what we see with Apologia and Fight Laugh Feast and Sword and Trowel and James White and all these organizations are people who are really using technology in a way that's eventually, it's just going to shut the Gospel Coalition out and limit their voice. And here's the other thing, too, that I think is so significant about this. When I look at, like, shows like, you know, Cross Politic, and they have, like, Matt Walsh on, and they argue with Matt Walsh, or they have debates with Tabidi on their show. And then you have the Gospel Coalition and all these other liberal social justice outlets, and... there's no dialogue, there's no interaction, there's no discussion among them, among people that disagree with them. They're not only not spreading out, they're actually closing in tighter and tighter. And this is exactly what we saw with the emergent church. When the emergent church started to distribute their postmodernism through their book publishing and stuff, it was people like Phil Johnson at the time who used blogging to really shut that down and making memes. It was Phil Johnson's memes, the postmodern memes, that really like shut down and silenced the postmodern movement. And so, you know, blogging was big at that time. And YouTube wasn't even really, I don't even think YouTube was maybe even a year or two old during that time, but blogging was big. Team Pyro, the blog spots, like that was the media used, and those guys used it first. And then Todd Friel was doing stuff with podcasting, you know, years and years ago. And so we see that, like, and then all of a sudden the emergent church disappeared. They didn't want to interact. They didn't want to engage. They didn't want to debate. They just closed themselves tighter and tighter until nobody knew they existed anymore. And, Summer says, love the shirt. And, yes, it is it's a great shirt. And, but anyway, but that's what I'm seeing. So, like, you know, on one hand, you know, Doug's been doing a lot of blogging, and he's been telling church leaders and pastors that now's the time that they need to come out, and then they need to practice church discipline and start putting their foot down to shut out these people that are entering into our church. And essentially, the fact that we're having this conversation already means that it's too late. And I agree. And the pastors should do that. But I would like to suggest, that to those that are not in pastoral leadership and don't have a way to be able to, you know, guard the table, per se, I would like to say to the laymen, like, now's the time, really, to start investing in Christian new media companies. Now is the time. The Gospel Coalition is so far behind in terms of their technology. Oh, you know what I forgot to mention? Ligonier. Like, Ligonier is with RefNet and all the technology that those people are doing right now. They're so far ahead of the Gospel Coalition. Like, they're so far ahead in using technology and embracing technology. And they still have a giant book publishing arm, but they know where the future is. And Ligonier is I was at the Ligonier conference and I was just blown away by, like, they get it. Like, they, Ligonier gets it. Like, they understand. And so here's the thing. The Gospel Coalition is not going to have the viewership in a year or two that people like Fight Laugh Feast and Apologia and James White's viewership's pretty incredible too, and he's been doing it long before Apologia was. So that's what I'm saying. Now's the time to really put your money where your mouth is, and let's invest in those new media organizations. Let's invest in technology, if you're a computer programmer, if you are a computer programmer and you're looking to develop an app, don't think of a really cool calculator app. Invent a whole new game-changing sort of platform. Dive into that. This is the time, and I think we're starting to see this. They have influence. Their influence that they have now, is only based on what they did in the past. The influence that Fight Laugh Feast and Apologia has is based on what they did recently. The Gospel Coalition has been around a lot longer than Apologia has. The Gospel Coalition has been around way before Apologia. And yet, within 3 years, this is our fourth year, we've tripled the amount of YouTube subscribers and our social media platform and engagement specifically. It's not really about the number of subscribers, but it's really about engagement compared to them. And so, I think we can look at this and be like, these guys, and I think somebody commented on my post and said that, someone commented on my post and said they're only worried about what's happening in the academic thing, which is true. But here's the thing with the academic thing. People are learning that the educational systems that we have, the seminaries and all those things, aren't where people's main source of education comes from. They go to seminary to get the degree, but they go to YouTube to be educated. Right, they go to podcasts, and then they go to their favorite teachers, and then they listen to debates and stuff that happen outside of an academic setting to really get that education. So, David says somebody sent Mark is a PayPal love offerings. He's preaching. It's true, man. I was just going over it, and I was just like, these people are on this is all this social justice stuff. This is what I think. They're seeing that they're losing irrelevancy. So the Gospel Coalition says, man, Apologia is getting several thousand views. Cross Politics getting several thousand views. They're getting all these top people to come on the show and debate them. And Gospel Coalition's we can't even break 1,000 views on a YouTube video. We have a video up for 24 hours. It hasn't even broken 500 views yet. And they're like, how do we get relevant? And instead of saying we're going to hold to the sound doctrine that we've always pushed and promoted, and instead embrace new technology, new media, new forms of communication. Instead of doing that, they said, social justice, that'll get us relevancy. But here's the thing. If the people that watch Apologia, Cross Politic, Fight, Laugh, Feast, Sword and Trowel, James White, if those people weren't talking about the garbage the Gospel Coalition's putting out, they wouldn't be relevant. The only reason they have relevancy right now is because of the garbage they're putting out and we're sharing. Because I don't see a lot of people in their camp sharing their own content. But I see us, we're sharing it all the time. If you go to like any person on like the, you know, any of these social justice warrior types, and you look on their Twitter account and you look and see like who retweeted David said he's playing the organ right now. If you look and see, because I did this, if you look and see like a racist statement from an individual that's tied with the Gospel Coalition or whoever, if you look at a racist statement from these people and you see who retweeted it, it's us. We're the ones that retweeted that garbage. We're the ones that's retweeting Kyle Howard and all that. And we should. Like, we should, like, retweet it. And I'm not saying don't share it. I mean, you absolutely should share it and expose it for the garbage that it is. But what I'm saying is, like, we're the ones that's making them appear to be relevant. But when you look at, like, our view counts, our subscribers, our, like, the stuff that we're putting out, what we're doing, how we're advancing new technology, how we're live streaming from anywhere, how we're debating people, and we're not enclosing ourselves in this tight circle. When you look at that, like, you see that, like, we're the ones that really do have all the power and influence right now. Because nobody would be talking about what they're doing if it wasn't for us. Look, here's the thing. The Gospel Coalition, what they did, Founders Ministry started like this amazing video podcast, like to be able to refute them. AD Robles, he's got like, he's putting up content all the time responding to them. Like, so they're actually this is absolutely true. The Gospel Coalition right now is building, they're helping us out. Like, if anybody's tried to find content for a show, like if you've worked as a producer and you're trying to find content for your own show, like, you know how hard that is, how difficult that is. But the Gospel Coalition is just giving us like the best content of any Christian, like of all the years I've been working in Christian media, from the time I was back working with Wretched all the way up until now. Like, it's never been a better time to start producing Christian content, because there's so much stuff going on to be responded to. And yeah, Founders, man. Founders is kicking butt right now. I mean, that set looks amazing. Their production looks amazing. I know people haven't started, like, it doesn't have the numbers yet. Like, it's really early. But if you go to Founders and like their page, Tom Askell and Jared Longshore are killing it right now. Like, everything about what they're doing right now is just, Gospel Coalition hasn't, they haven't come close. It's just unbelievable, the difference. And so here's what I'm asking you guys to do. And if you guys got any questions, because there's a lot of people on the stream. Good. Hey, there's people on the stream this time. That's great. If you got any questions, ask them, because I'll answer them. I think this is an important conversation that we need to have, and I'm sure this is going to get out the Gospel Coalition, and they're going to be like, oh man, he's right. We got to start upping our new media game. But they can't. They're so far behind. It's going to take years for them to get what we're doing right now. So, Austin said, I can't think to cover right. Okay. So, So what Jared Longshore and Tom Askell are doing is just fantastic. I'm so encouraged every time I see they have a new episode up, and I just love what they're doing. Talking about reparations is, again, they're talking about reparations. So this is, even like people you would think would get the new media, like Lecrae, Reach Records, all those guys, KB, all those people that are going into that social justice stuff, those guys who got big money, big budgets, they haven't even really been doing anything with new media. So, So, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're really, everybody should be encouraged right now. Like, now, like, we got the printing press, and those guys are still got, like, trying to fill up ink in their bottles, like, trying to fill their pens and write on papyrus, and they don't even know. It reminds me, this is true. The printing press was invented right near a busy street that was filled with scribes holding like rolls of paper, giant bundles of paper, and these scribes would just run back and forth. They would trade paper for ink, or they would just, so this street was like so busy with like all these people, like with paper and pens. And then within like a few years of the printing press being invented, that street was gone. Artificial intelligence took their jobs. Back then, the printing press took their jobs. AI's taking jobs. Like, that's just what happened. So it would just be amazing to, you know, see the printing press work and to walk out on the street and see all these people running with like paper and ink and like going back and forth, blisters on their hands from writing all day, and just know that these guys are, you know, they're on the bottom end. You know, they're thinking people want a faster horse when really what they want is a car, you know? So, yeah, David's absolutely right. David said, we need to step it up to No Time to Chill next year. That's exactly right. That's why I'm asking you guys, if you guys have the ability, like, now's the time to really put your money into these guys that are asking for club memberships or Apology All Access. Like, now's the time to really, like, back these people, because they have everything that is needed. Like, everything that is needed to really take over and to dominate this conversation is in place. Like, it's all there. Now all they need is the ability to just focus 100%, to be able to work full-time, to be able to handle, like, this is the time. So... what do you guys think? I'll take some comments right now. I'll pause a minute and let you guys catch up. You guys can post some comments. So, somebody mentioned the Just Thinking podcast. I haven't heard of that, but cool, man. Like, yeah, like, podcasts are real big. But I think what we're seeing now is next level stuff with like Cross Politics and Apologia, where it's like full video production of podcasting. It's live streaming. Look, you're not gonna see the Gospel Coalition. Look, this is true. I dare the Gospel Coalition to do what Apology has done. Somebody said, what's my PayPal email? My PayPal email is contact@crownrightsmedia.com. So Apologia, right in front of the abortion clinic, people screaming and cussing at us live. It's live, right? Mormon Temple, debating theology. It's live. It's live. I dare the Gospel Coalition to go to a KKK gathering, to go to an actual legitimate white supremacist gathering and preach the gospel at their doorstep live. Get a tarot deck, hook it up to your camera, mic yourself up, lapel, do the whole thing, and I want you to send Russell Moore to a white supremacist meeting in the South and debate them and argue with them the truth of the gospel. You're not going to see it. You're not going to see it, but you'll see it from us. We'll do it. Cross Politics had the gubernatorial candidates on their show. Like, where have you seen that? I haven't even seen Russell Moore, like, debate politicians. Like, that guy's not debating politicians, right? So, like, they're not gonna do it. Like, they're not gonna do it, but we will. And we're gonna win. We're gonna win because of that. So, Anyway, so like I said, like, you know, like Doug Wilson's is telling pastors, you know, now's the time to speak out, but now's the time for us to really figure out, like, what's the business plan? Like, what's the model? How do we make media empires now? Like, now's the time. I really believe, like, all the talent is there. All the technology is easily accessible. I mean, you don't even need money to do it, right? So money isn't, like, for the technology to be able to do it. It's super cheap right now. That's not a thing. But what we need now is, like, money for infrastructure, for capital, for, like, all these other things that can really, like, just explode this thing. So if you have the ability, man, I would just ask you, pray about it. It's the real deal right now. Like, it, like, now's like the point. It's the tipping point. Like, now's the tipping point. It's like, you know, how fast we know how fast we can grow with, like, look, think about this. Like, we, like, Apologia, Cross Politic, all the stuff, like, they've been doing. Like, they don't have multi-million dollar budgets. They're not bringing in millions of dollars from book sales or the ESV Bible. They're not bringing in, we're not bringing in, you know, billions of dollars. We're not charging 50 grand for a speaking engagement, 20 grand for a speaking engagement. We're not charging, like, all this money. We don't have people like Russell Moore does that before you go on a show ask for the questions to be sent ahead of time so his staff can review the questions. Like, we don't have that sort of team, that sort of resources. But look at the shows that we've made. Look at the content that we've made. Look at all. David said he'll go, but they might not want him there. Yeah, that's true. That's true. What does the next level or the next gear look like? That's a great question, David. So when I look at, like, the next level, the next gear, like, what is new, there's, like, always, like, the optimistic view, which is, like, here's an entirely new thing no one's ever seen before, right? And there's, like, no vision or plan for that yet because it hasn't been created or made, right? So that's the new Twitter. That's the new Facebook. That's the new, like, that's next level for sure. But I think right now, like, the basic step right now would be, let's do something huge like CRTV is doing. They have multiple shows, multiple productions, multiple hosts, and they're killing it right now. But they don't have that Christian foundation. A few do, like Allie. Allie's on CRTV. She's killing it right now. So, but imagine, like, CRTV just with this incredible reformed foundation, and, like, not all political content. CRTV doesn't have all political content in terms of, like, the typical talk radio show. They have, like, you know, like, the Duck Dynasty guy, Phil, I think is his name. So they have that. Austin says, that's a good point. Austin says, truly decentralized platform for streaming integration. That's huge. Right now, our biggest weakness is that we're dependent on Facebook, we're dependent on Twitter, we're dependent on YouTube to push our content out, and all they gotta do is hit a checkbox and, like, everything's gone, right? So, like, that, everything's gone. So, like, right now, we're dependent on these platforms. Austin's right. What we need to do is create a decentralized model for streaming. Or, honestly, we just need our own platform that's just gonna say, look, man, Christ is king of this platform for video streaming, for video content, and then, you know, do it that way, you know, and that would be huge too. And then there's ways that platform can acquire their own servers and pay systems and banking, and, like, there's ways that can happen too, in a way that it could be monetized without being shut down and run and operated without being shut down. It's hard work. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of capital. But, you know, there's ways to do that. So David's absolutely right. Platform creation is the key right now. The Gospel Coalition they have a platform. But they're not using it. It's not gonna change. If the Gospel Coalition was gonna change, they would have done it. But they haven't. And so you see, platform creation is the key. just all under one giant tech company. Like that's the thing. Like, it's not just about producing content anymore. It's how can we be a tech company that produces content? We have the website that can determine the analytics, that can provide its own monetization for the content, that can do everything in turn. That's a tech company. And so like that requires a lot of money because programmers are worth what they're paid. Like they should be paid a lot of money to make this stuff. They run the world right now. And so you have to pay for that. You have to pay for the hosting and stuff like that. But mainly right now, I think it's just about recognizing who these innovators are in Christianity, whether it's Fight, Laugh, Feast or Apologia. Recognize who these innovators are and start putting what you can to them and encouraging them and sharing their content. Goodness gracious, share their content. Set up reminders, like for, you know, like Fight, Laugh, Feast has a pretty, you know, routine schedule. 7 o'clock Sunday night, set a reminder on your phone. I gotta share it, you know. Just start spreading the word, sharing, promoting this stuff. So that's the main thing. That's how you beat the Facebook algorithm too, is like if you know something's dropping at 7 o'clock, set a reminder on your phone that's not connected to Facebook that says time to share, time, you know, all those things. Like that's like a really small step. If you don't have any money, just share stuff. Also, like one of the things that I've been noticing really, really, that's been really, this is key, is that Apologia stuff, when we go before the city council, when Cross Politic does something, like has like a guest on a show that blows up, major news outlets are recording. Major outlets are sharing that stuff. Like they're sharing that. So like Faithwire, for example, has shared tons of Apologia as like political content. Faithwire shared Cross Politics content, and then Faithwire shares it, and then that gets sent out strategically to the Daily Wire and Matt Walsh and all these other guys start sharing it. But I've never seen the Gospel Coalition. I've never seen the Gospel Coalition have a story run on them in a positive way that brings attention to what they're doing. I've never seen the Daily Wire share a Gospel Coalition article unless it's negatively about them. So again, like we have the attention of these organizations. They know who we are. And strategic partnerships with them is huge. So, yeah. So, hey, what's up, Joe Thorne? I haven't heard from you in a while. Thanks for watching, Joe. Joe's doing stuff too, I think. I'm sure you are. I've heard great things of Doctrine and Devotion. I haven't listened to it in a while, though. So, Faithwire has been huge in our making things go viral for our smaller outfits. Yeah. So, that's another thing too, man. Like, maybe you're into writing. You're a writer. Start a blog that gets traffic. Write every day. Create a website, like a news outlet, like create something that gets distribution, that gets shares, that gets promoted, that gets people, you know, the Daily Wire asking for permission to republish your stuff. Get that sort of like momentum behind you as a writer so that when the new media organizations post stuff like Cross Politic or Apologia post stuff, you got the platform that can help them go crazy. Like, so it, like, it all works together. This whole thing, like, is just one giant connected thing. Like, there's, it's not a competition, between Apologia or Fight, Laugh, Feast or the founders. It's like, let's all come together and just, like, work together, just like the Daily Wire works with CRTV or the Daily Wire works with, you know, other organizations, conservative news organizations, as a way to really expand and broaden the reach that they have. Like, that's key. You know, so start those news websites, start getting that blog traffic, start making a living, you know, by producing your own content, whether it's, you know, blogging or media or whatever. So anyways, that went longer than I thought it would, but I was on a roll apparently. So, yeah. So anyways, thanks everybody for watching. Let me just make sure I didn't miss any questions or whatever. Somebody said, I think if American churches got excited about serving King Jesus, we could have a platform tomorrow. We already got the platform, guys. Like, we already have the foundation set in place. Now it's about really recognizing it and embracing it and investing in it and monetizing the platforms that are already there. So that's the key. So, and David said, let the church say amen. And with that, I'll call it a wrap. But thanks, guys, for watching. Take it seriously.